doing the whole 6010.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Field Yates, Stefania Bell, and Daniel Dott back with you on Monday, December 7th to recap most of Week 13. We still have three games left.
I was thinking about that driving in today. I was like, wow, there's two games tonight. Oh, and there's another one tomorrow night. And then we got another one on Thursday. Like, it is a football week.
I am so caught off guard this week that I scheduled a Zoom with someone at 6 p.m. Eastern tonight. And the person responded and said, I really appreciate you making time. It's also halftime of the Steelers game. Are you sure you want to do that? And I thought to myself, that's a good point. It is halftime of the Steelers-Washington football game.
You're like, yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, I totally knew that. Definitely wasn't at all overlooking the fact that we have a game during Monday happy hour, 5 p.m., of course, Washington football team in Pittsburgh, followed by our game on ESPN, the Bills traveling to the Arizona/San Francisco 49ers, Stefania's 49ers. And then we close things out on Tuesday with the Baltimore Ravens, Dallas Cowboys. Waivers will run one day later. As a result of that, we will cover all of those things and more on tomorrow's show, plus a lot of it folded into today's show. But we're going to begin today with some injury recaps, and it's not necessarily recapping injuries from the weekend because, again, we've got three games left, Stefania.
Right.
So some players that I don't know that an official statement has been made by the team on their availability because it doesn't have to be.
I think so.
So let's just get right into it. James Conner and Mark Andrews, Steelers running back and Ravens tight end respectively, both remain, as of right now, this is 10 a.m. that we're talking about this, on the reserve COVID-19 list. That's why the team hasn't had to have them on an injury report. Do we think either of them could play? The Steelers play Monday afternoon, the Ravens Tuesday evening.
So just off the top, to make it easy for fantasy managers out there, do not expect either one of them to play. I think it's easiest to just report, to reiterate what Adam Schefter reported on Sunday for clarity. So Adam reported Steelers running back James Conner is eligible to come off the reserve COVID list on Monday, but it's still considered unlikely that he will play against the Washington football team per sources, and references Benny Snell as getting most of the workload. And then Adam also reported Ravens tight end Mark Andrews, who remains on the reserve COVID-19 list, is not expected to play Tuesday versus the Cowboys per source. So again, neither expected to play. And I think we have talked about these two are kind of highlighted because they each have something in their health history that makes them higher risk individuals according to the CDC guidelines of who are higher risk individuals with COVID-19. James Conner has a history of cancer. Mark Andrews is a type 1 diabetic. We know nothing about their individual status at this point, nor should we, but it does get our attention because both of them have a more complicated health history field.
So we don't expect to see either of them this week, week 13. We'll get into week 14 when we get to week 14. And a reminder, I know that people, this was reminded by Daniel last week. And by the way, Daniel, an outstanding job last Thursday, pinch hitting for me and my play, and very grateful.
Great
for
job!
All
I
of
watched
the work.
It.
Yeah,
thank
it
you,
was phenomenal,
you guys.
I mean, I was there.
You were there for half
from
of it,
the Chateau.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know,
Chapin was
to let you
made
know.
A comment to the effect of like, "Do they even need you on the show?" And I was like, "Hey, be careful now. Be careful now." But yes, we will again Monday, Tuesday, Thursday of this week, and maybe no one cares, but I'm out on Thursday. I've got something previously planned.
A Zoom.
This is a not a Zoom this time. This is a long time coming, so I'm just getting ahead of the operation here a little bit. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday this week, and again, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday next week. We're into the playoffs. A little bit of a different schedule for us here on the Fantasy Focus. You mentioned Benny Snell. Hard to invest in a Ravens tight end not named Mark Andrews right now, especially with Nick Boyle out for the year. So hopefully you already filled in for Mark Andrews. Logan Thomas for the Washington football team will be a name if you're looking for a last-minute add here for today.
And if you're desperate, you could probably pick up Jordan Reed.
Yes.
Who will get a catch or two.
Yes, that's right.
Plays for the 49ers now, in case anyone had forgotten
Jordan
where
Reed.
He was.
I actually had forgotten about him as a potential fill-in tonight. Let's get to some of the Sunday injuries, Stefania, and they all hurt, but this one has sort of a personal touch to it, right? Is Frank Gore, perhaps your favorite football player, left Sunday's game early, very early for the Jets.
He might be Adam Gase's favorite football player on the team too. I really think they have a long history. And Frank Gore, who I was just hoping would be able to get in the end zone. You see a lot of people saying that let Frank Gore get a score. Unfortunately, he suffered a concussion and was ruled out after just one carry for 2 yards. That was the end of his day. And it's hard to see because Frank Gore has been so durable. We just don't think of him getting hurt. So when he left early, it was a surprise for all of us and certainly unfortunate for him. And he was the primary ball carrier. Whatever you may think of that, he was the primary ball carrier for the Jets so far this year.
And I think that it was important that you said, like, whatever you may think of that, because and nobody wants to see Frank Gore get hurt. The Jets are 0-12. You may have seen what happened yesterday at the end of the game. We'll leave that for NFL Live. But it would behoove them to get as much out of their young talent now as they can. We saw LaMichael Perine start to come on a little bit. And Ty Johnson, who they claimed off of waivers earlier this year, he had his best day of his young career. 22 carries, 104 yards, plus a touchdown. Josh Adams actually chipped in 8 rushing attempts for 74 yards as well. But Ty Johnson has put himself squarely in the mix as like the waiver ad of the week, potentially. No idea, obviously, if Frank Gore is going to have to miss next week. But as we know, these concussions, they can be a one-week thing. They could be a multi-week thing. But the Ty Johnson hype train's about to begin, at least to start the week. Looked really good. Daniel, you have a little bit of exposure to him. And when he got drafted by the Lions last year, the idea was this was a pretty nifty in space guy, could be a good pass catching back. Obviously did not get much of a chance in Detroit, but now he has one here in New York.
Ton of opportunity here, especially if Frank Gore is going to miss some time. I actually really liked, you know, Ty Johnson. He's not a guy that I feel like is a top tier running back, but like if you can give him some space, he's got some wheels when he gets out into open space. I'll tell you
Yeah, that's right. He averaged over 7.5 yards per carry in his college career. I think the idea coming into the NFL was probably not going to be the kind of guy you want handing the football off 20 times, but desperate times call for desperate measures, and the fantasy football playoffs can be desperate measures. Brandon Cooks, this one was scary. So Brandon Cooks, anybody who has followed his career has known that he's been traded a lot. He's very fast, productive, high-character player. He also has dealt with some scary concussion situations. Left the Super Bowl early for the Patriots when he played that for them, had a concussion issue last year for the Rams, and then yesterday it appeared to rear itself maybe briefly, though, in that game?
Well, what happens when any player is suspected of suffering concussions? They exit the field and they go for evaluation. Sometimes evaluation takes place within the blue medical tent and then they are cleared or ruled out. Sometimes it warrants additional evaluation in the locker room. That's the procedure. But in any event, Brandon Cooks was evaluated for a concussion, but he was cleared to return. So that was yesterday. But what Field brings up is that he has this extensive history of concussion, so much so he missed 6 games last year, that people were talking to him about whether he felt comfortable continuing in football. Now, he has said that he is and had no issues, was not concerned when he came over to the Texans. But those conversations will come up when you have a player who has a history like Brandon Cooks does.
And this was a lifetime ago and a head coach ago as well. But remember, Bill O'Brien was asked about that concussion history when they traded for him. I'm totally comfortable with Brandon Cooks. So the good news is, as Stefania noted, cleared to return to the game. I would surmise, and maybe this is a dangerous, slippery slope for me to take, that if he was cleared to return to the game, that we should right now be expecting him to be fine as the practice week begins on Wednesday.
That's actually a really good point you bring up, because this has happened where players have been cleared and then they subsequently develop symptoms later. And so there's always a conversation. First of all, when they go back into the game, the medical staff is watching them as they continue through that game to see if there's anything that they don't like, anything that suggests behavior consistent with concussion. They talk to them after the game. They follow up with them the next day. And the players are advised and strongly to report any subsequent symptoms. So we know that sometimes these things don't present themselves until a day or two later. The further out you get from the game, the less likely they are. Yeah. But it is worth noting that it could happen.
Saints defensive end Marcus Davenport got banged up in week 12, practiced Wednesday of week 13. Thursday, popped up on the injury report with concussion-like symptoms. It had, because they just had taken time to develop. So keep an eye on this one for Brandon Cooks. We'll have more on the Texans and their offense without Will Fuller later on in the show. Zach Ertz did return, Stefania. The Eagles are a hot, hot mess, so it's hard to focus too much on Zach Ertz. But based off of what you may have seen from this game yesterday, did you glean any level of insight on how you thought he looked?
I actually need to go back and watch this game because where I was unable to get the game. So I just got little highlights here and there, things that were sent to me. Not enough to make a major assessment. I think the important thing whenever a player returns is not only how they do in that game, but how they feel the day after. And particularly with these high ankle sprains, look, we've seen players like Michael Thomas, who had a high ankle sprain that cost him multiple weeks, like along the lines of Zach Ertz, still listed on the injury report for his ankle, probably a measure of load management, but occasionally there's soreness that develops after they get back into action. So we will watch the practice reports going forward.
Here's the reality with Zach Ertz, and I love Zach Ertz as a player, and I look forward to wherever Zach Ertz is playing in 2021. My instinct right now is it won't be in Philadelphia. But right now, in this moment, how can you have any confidence in any Eagles player, any whatsoever, and I'm including you, Miles Sanders, not because of you, but because of the coaching staff and the way that you are being utilized right now. So we don't know who's going to be the quarterback next week. They play the Saints. Dallas Goedert's talented and good. He played twice as many snaps as Zach Ertz yesterday. I love Zach Ertz. 2021 is where I have my eyes on for Zach Ertz and fantasy value. I just think the rest of this season, the Eagles, it's hard to trust anybody in that offense.
They did look a little bit better as soon as Jalen Hurts came out on the field. I just want to say that, and a little bit like a little bit better.
There's a reason why the conversation all week this week will be who's starting at quarterback.
The Eagles can still be bad, and they can have looked better with Jalen Hurts because Carson Wentz just like he looks mentally broken out there, and I hate to say that because I love Carson Wentz so much.
And here's the thing: if I'm the Eagles, what I think this is my opinion, and this is a little bit off fantasy topic, but here's why you need to give Jalen Hurts an opportunity down the stretch. And I understand that these are imperfect circumstances. But let's say that you don't go to Jalen Hurts. If you have looked closely at the Carson Wentz contract, you know that it is a disaster to get out from this offseason. You are probably tied to Carson Wentz in some capacity next year. But the capacity right now, if you continue to run him back as the starter every week the rest of the way, is that you're expecting him to be the starting quarterback going into the offseason, or there's a competition. If you let Jalen Hurts play and start the next four games, you at least have a little bit of an evaluation. Let's say Jalen Hurts goes out there and stinks for 4 weeks.
Yep.
Well, hey, you know what? That's why we have Carson Wentz as our franchise guy. And that is why some in the NFL evaluated Jalen Hurts as a career backup quarterback, not a starting quarterback, a career backup. If he goes out there and he kills it for 4 weeks, well, you have an eyesore of a contract for Carson Wentz, but it's a slightly easier pill to swallow, and then you have to make a decision about whether you want to trade, and before you tell me no contract can be traded, or every contract, whatever, you know what I'm trying to say. Before you tell me there are contracts in the NFL that can't be traded, Brock Osweiler, that's all I have to say back to you. So, my point is that like you have to give yourselves a shot with Jalen Hurts to see what you have, even if it is, as I mentioned, basically impossible circumstances. I have a glass of water in one hand. I've got a cup of tea in the other. If I could, I'd pour each of them out right now. For all of you who started Clyde Edwards-Helaire yesterday in the final week of the fantasy football regular season. And to be clear, I am not placing blame on you. I am also not begrudging the Chiefs for doing what they did. But for those that may have missed it, or for those that woke up this morning and said,
why do I have a zero?
Yeah. Clyde Edwards-Helaire came into this game questionable. He was feeling unwell towards the end of the week, not COVID-related, but it sounds like he had a stomach bug, Stefania, and he ended up being active for the Chiefs. He did not play at all for the Chiefs. He was merely an insurance policy.
Can I pull a Matthew and say, active is a strong word.
Active is a strong word, apparently, right?
Active is a strong word. And so there are a wide range of outcomes when a player is active.
Yes,
correct. One can be active and observing the action because you are active and dressed and on the sideline, or one can be active and be playing every snap. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire, unfortunately for fantasy managers, was the former. And Andy Reid ended up explaining it, and it made a lot of sense. Unfortunately, these are health details that we don't necessarily have going into the game. Now, we had some clues. Adam Schefter had reported Sunday morning that they expected him to be available, but that they were going to take it down to the wire. They wanted to see how he felt Sunday morning, et cetera. But you assume, I think, when a player is active, that then the team plans to use him. Andy Reid ended up saying that Clyde Edwards-Helaire had lost a lot of weight during the week because of the sickness. They were concerned about him getting dehydrated. They didn't want to put him in a situation that they regretted, essentially. So they had him available, but they tried to keep him off the field. And unfortunately, for fantasy purposes, you don't get points for suiting up.
You sure do not. So if you played him again, you know, this is... Let me remind people what we are calling, what this game is called. Fantasy football. It's not reality football. It's fantasy football. And let me also, and our audience is the best. I don't have to remind them, but just one time, just in case. Like, we're projecting, right? And we have no idea. Like, no one told us, no one told anybody, not a single reporter, even those that are speaking to Andy Reid directly in any sense whatsoever, that he would play and also not play at all. Like, I think there was a chance we expected a reduced workload, but still, not playing at all was a surprise. Le'Veon Bell filled in his absence, and I got to tell you, he's an insurance policy, but I don't consider that a particularly...
Not a great one.
Wasn't a great one. He is whatever. He got some volume, Le'Veon Bell, but...
Is Le'Veon Bell still a must roster as a backup to CEH?
Yes, because...
Because
again,
you score points. They're a productive offense, and at some point, you know, you get points for touching the ball.
Right, and also I would just say that, like, you know, if you don't keep him, like, and you have to turn to something, like, and then something happens to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and you're looking to grab, like, who are you going to grab off the waiver wire? That's like a sure thing. Not saying that, like, he's going to dominate, but just it's opportunity cost, right? You're dropping him for the opportunity to grab. I don't know. Like, if you had grabbed Matt Breida in recent weeks, or I don't even know who it would be.
This week and going forward, our waiver wire really changes from, like, week to week, because at this point your roster should be set up and you're looking at, like, long term, what's the upside that I can find off of waivers?
Yeah, so, and the list is going to be short. I mean, I don't have to call them. I've got six guys on the list right now. That might balloon to seven or eight and could obviously be impacted by the three games we have left over. But for now, just six players. Let's talk about some players that are peaking for the playoffs and whether we're buying it, because this is our Geico good news of the day. We begin in Tennessee, where Baker Mayfield and the Browns, the frisky 9-3 Browns, Stefania Bell. Baker Mayfield, 29.5 fantasy points yesterday. Almost all of it came in the first half, but who cares when you get it? They still count all the same.
Wow. Can they run play action all the time? Because then I'm buying it.
Yeah, I mean, unbelievable day for Baker Mayfield. 334 yards, four touchdowns, and... One of the narratives, and I was someone who was mindful of this, was that the Browns had been really, really good so far this year. But they hadn't carried their weight in big games. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, they carried their weight in big games. So 29.5 fantasy points for Baker Mayfield. I'll toss it to you, and we can play ping pong. Any chance you are buying this and using it going and potentially relying upon Baker Mayfield going forward?
Well, if you look ahead at their matchups, they have Baltimore next.
Yep.
I don't really know what to make of Baltimore right now.
I still think good defensively.
I think good defensively, but check with me after Tuesday.
Yes, fair. Totally fair.
New York Giants, New York Jets. You got a couple nice matchups in there.
Steelers. I'm not so sure on the Giants anymore, though.
They have come a long way.
Russell Wilson can't do it against them, right?
Well, that's another conversation, too. but I think that they can have success against the Giants and the Jets. Baker Mayfield can. I liked what I saw yesterday. And also, again, we were talking before the show about qualitative versus quantitative. And the qualitative side of me says he's a guy who runs on a motor that's built on confidence. Mm-hmm. And so when you come off a game like this, I feel like that's going to breed more Baker Mayfield success.
Yeah, I would hope so. I'm not there myself. He was not a top 15 quarterback in 9 of his first 11 games this season. So it's been more the exception than the rule for him to have a day like he had yesterday. I think the story is actually about two things that are more important than Baker's value. One, Jarvis Landry's value in a second. And two, the Browns and, like, their sort of franchise trajectory as to whether Baker Mayfield is a guy that you can make your starter going forward. Again, don't know if we can... get into this conversation too in depth, but the Browns have a decision to make on his fifth year option after this season. Good to see Baker Mayfield. I'm not quite there yet, but I do wonder if Jarvis Landry might be back. And Jarvis Landry has had a disappointing season. I mean, he had zero touchdowns going into week 12. He's got two touchdowns over the past 2 weeks. I should say zero receiving touchdowns. He did throw one way back in the day to Odell Beckham Jr. But here's the good news. He has 10-plus targets in three of his past five games. He's got 20-plus fantasy points in consecutive games. And it feels like the player that we have known him to be has reared himself a bit over the past couple of weeks. I think, Stefania, he's played himself into like a top 30 wide receiver option. I still have some concerns because the Browns, at their best, are probably going to be a run the football and run it and run it and run it some more. But Jarvis Landry, the narrative got a little bit unfair that like he's not a great player. I think he's an excellent player who I think also plays in an offense that can win games throwing it very, very, very few times on occasion.
Yes. So yes to all those things. I pretty much fall in lockstep with you. I think back to Jarvis Landry when he was the possession guy in Miami, where it was just tons and tons of volume. And that's where you made your fantasy points, was cashing in on Jarvis Landry being guaranteed to get all these touches. But then in Cleveland, one of the challenges has been there's been so many mouths to feed. And particularly when his friend and college teammate OBJ came to town, it felt like Jarvis Landry was second fiddle, almost like a setup guy to make Odell's successful. Then he played through this hip injury last year that was really, I think, far more problematic than anybody appreciated. And it kind of bled into this year in terms of how he was feeling. So now you're getting him when he's feeling better. There's no Odell to compete with. And he and Baker Mayfield are clicking much more. And I think he can have, I don't think there's a super high ceiling, but I think the floor is pretty solid.
I think so too. And that's okay sometimes. It's not great, though, for quarterbacks, in my opinion. And that brings us to Phillip Rivers. And the ceiling for Phillip Rivers, he has at least 16 fantasy points in six of his past seven games. Over 17.5 in three straight games. Yesterday, though, he played great again, and he had 19.2 fantasy points. So Phillip Rivers is trending in the right direction. I would just say this, if you're sitting here wondering to yourself, like, oh, Phillip Rivers, should I be starting him? I'm not there yet. Now, you can certainly play the matchups on occasion here, but as I talk about all the time with these quarterbacks, it's just like start the usual list, right? Mahomes, Josh Allen, Brady, when he obviously is back off of bye next week. You've got all these quarterbacks that just by default, Deshaun Watson, you're going to play him. Like, you're not playing Phillip Rivers over Aaron Rodgers, for example. You're not playing him over Kyler Murray, for example. Well. Justin Herbert. But even in a bad day yesterday, Kyler still somehow finished with three touchdowns accounted for. So the point is that just do that. Play a name game on your own when you're considering adding a quarterback. But there could be value here for his wide receiver and T.Y. Hilton, who Undertaker GIF has emerged over the past 2 weeks.
Definitely. He was like fantasy zombie.
He was.
The term
that
we used to use back in the day. But it was... It gave me more satisfaction personally to just see T.Y. Hilton have a great day because it's been a year to forget.
So back-to-back games, over 18 fantasy points. And here's a part that makes it interesting, is that not a lot made sense about T.Y. Hilton's massive regression at the beginning of this season. Like, he was not, last year, 2019, was not his prime, but he also wasn't dead weight, right? Like, he was still a useful player for the Colts and in fantasy.
Yeah, the only thing that really bothered him last year was injury.
Yeah, he got hurt a little bit.
Literally took him out.
But he came into this year, and nobody was sitting here saying, like, oh, yep, T.Y. Hilton, he's going to, like, you know, just, he's going to be a turtle crawling back into a shell with zero fantasy points. No. And so that's why these past couple of games, I think, count for something. And he is available in, like, 53.1% of fantasy leagues on ESPN.com right now. Let's get him over 50%. Let's get him back on benches because the matchups are okay down the stretch.
Trying to figure out how do we account for this?
Yeah.
Because is it a fluke or is it something that really going forward, this is going to be a thing?
Well, touchdowns.
Touchdowns definitely help. But
right. But why was he the target?
He does have a history of owning the Texans, specifically in Houston. And by the way, they play the Texans again in 2 weeks. But the schedule's pretty solid, right? So if you play in a league that plays all the way through week 17, I'm not going to have T.Y. Hilton inside my top 30 going into this week. But he gets the Raiders, Texans, Steelers you don't love, and the Jaguars. So, like, let's say that he plays well again this week. You might be using him in week 15. You might be fading him in week 16, but you're definitely using week 17 if he right. keeps this up. So there's something here for T.Y. Hilton. And, oh, by the way, his fellow offensive teammate, Jonathan Taylor, looked good yesterday. Jonathan Taylor, good. Seems like he's sort of back on track a little bit. 22.5 fantasy points, 91 rush yards, 3 catches, 44 yards and a touchdown on a beautifully designed 39-yard touchdown reception. It's his fifth game with over 15 fantasy points this season. It's not the year that we had hoped for, clamored for, potential top 10-ish running backs to find you, but much more like the player that we drafted, many people drafted in the second or third round.
Yeah, I think it's sort of all over the place. I was not expecting much from Jonathan Taylor, admit to having him on a bench in the league. Very unfortunate for me. But and he did get a lot out of that one play. You know, so if that play's not there, I still think, you know, I look at Nyheim Hines and I look at value in terms of how they're utilizing their running backs. I'm not totally confident that Jonathan Taylor's role is consistent.
Yeah, I mean, they still have Nyheim Hines, who obviously right. is doing his thing, and yesterday had a touchdown plus a second one that was nearly it was called back because of a penalty. But he's going to do his thing. I think the good news is that we've streamlined it from three guys to two in that indie backfield. Corey Davis, I don't know if anybody tracks this, but I would imagine that Corey Davis might be the most discussed player on the Fantasy Focus Football podcast this season. What a game, though, yesterday. 11 catches, 182 yards and a touchdown, 35.2 fantasy points. He has at least 10 fantasy points in 9 of 10 games this season. There is still opportunity to turn to Corey Davis this year. Look at the matchups going ahead.
I was just going to say, look at the schedule.
At Jacksonville, home to Detroit, at Green Bay, at Houston. Which of those scares you?
None enough to not use him.
Right.
I mean, Houston is so up and down in terms of their defense that you never know. But that's certainly not the next two. And when we're playing right now, you're playing for it's process of elimination, right? You got to win each week in your fantasy playoffs. So I'm looking right now, and Corey Davis is at the top of my list going into Jacksonville and Detroit, and he's been on fire, over 19 yards per catch in the last three games. I feel like his value, his stock has risen in the last handful of games compared to the start of the season. I was a little concerned, you know, AJ Humphreys came back. I mean,
Adam Humphreys. Yep.
A.J. Brown, who almost had a score that was ultimately didn't happen, but Humphreys got banged up again a little bit. It's kind of scary after the time he missed due to a concussion. Corey Davis, to me, his value stayed consistent.
Yeah, and by the way, Corey Davis had his fifth-year option declined this past offseason. Corey Davis made himself some money now.
I was going to say, playing for, you know, some tape.
I think, and this has happened on a couple of occasions, where a guy's had his fifth-year option declined, and it worked out to be the best thing for him financially. Garrett Bowles for the Denver Broncos recently signed a $68 million extension. He would have been a free agent this offseason. I bet Corey Davis gets $10 million a year this offseason, rather than being on the fifth-year option for 1 year at $15 million. I think it'll be a multi-year contract at $10-plus million per year. His quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, yesterday, kind of junky time, but I don't care. I don't care about junk time in fantasy football. 27.6 fantasy points yesterday, 389 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, an interception. We just told you that Corey Davis has a great schedule coming up. Well, that means the same thing for his quarterback. At Jacksonville, home to Detroit, at Green Bay, at Houston, to reiterate it one more time, he's been Jekyll and Hyde this year, 5 top 10 weeks and 5 weeks outside the top 15. Currently quarterback 3, but good Ryan Tannehill could rear itself a couple of times down the stretch.
Daniel, you wanted to say something.
I did. I didn't want to interrupt. But I when you look at Corey Davis, I feel very strongly. People look at Corey Davis and they think of the like top 5 draft bust Corey
Correct.
Davis.
Right.
In their mind, he is not somebody that is still a fantasy viable wide receiver. And when you look at his game log this year, outside of that one game in Chicago, he has double-digit points in every single game. Add on top of that, week 1, 7 for 101 as a boom game. You look at week 8 against Cincinnati, 8 for 128 and a touchdown. This last week, 11 for 182 and a touchdown. To have that double-digit floor, but also have the ceiling where you can have those big games based on how Ryan Tannehill and this offense looks, like 46% available across ESPN fantasy leagues. Like, he needs to be a guy that is started in flex positions in every single league from here on out. I feel really strongly about that.
I'm doing some math right now. I just punched some. Is that right?
Usually we leave that to Mike Clay, but Field, you go ahead.
Numbers.
Go ahead.
Crunch some numbers, not punching numbers. I just crunched some numbers, and he is on pace, I believe, if I have the math entirely right, for like 70 catches, nearly 1,070 receiving yards, and 7 touchdowns. Like,
you'd take that.
If that was a blind resume
before, yes. Right, before yeah, the start totally. Of the season, you would totally take it.
Absolutely.
And then you're like Corey Davis, you're like, I don't know. I do think it's the name bias.
Stop the name. Yes.
Yeah.
That's what
sure.
it's all about.
Someone you've been burned in the past before,
yep.
for example. Quickly, just going to mention a couple of these guys, and some positive, or mostly positive. Jamison Crowder, 5 catches, 47 yards, 2 touchdowns yesterday. That was good. But, you know, hard to feel like the player that we saw at the beginning of the year is going to be back. They've gotten more Denzel Mims involved. They've gotten more Breshad Perriman involved. And oh, by the way, they're the Jets. You can't really trust more than just the running back right now, assuming that's Ty Johnson going into next week. David Montgomery.
I thought looked good.
He has looked good the past 2 weeks. First time in his career, he's got 23 fantasy points or more in back-to-back games. That's tough to do anyway, so it's impressive he's done it in back-to-back weeks. And here's my shout-out. Mike Clay. Mike Clay yesterday on Fantasy Football Now gave you 4 building blocks for your daily fantasy lineup. Mitch Trubisky, cashed. David Montgomery?
Totally.
Cashed.
Yeah.
Bobby Trees, Robert Woods, cashed. And how about Darren Waller? People are like, yeah, nice. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Mike said, a value play does not mean the guy is super low in terms of price on the board. It means that his value on that
relative
given day,
to his cost.
Relative to what his cost is incredible. And Darren Waller had 45 fantasy points yesterday. More, even more on DraftKings with the 100-point bonus. Cam Akers, this is really interesting to me because the Rams all season have been this 3-man backfield. I've been talking about this. How do you figure it out? Maybe at some point you just don't. But what we saw yesterday was a Cam Akers-dominated game. He had 21 rushing attempts. Daryl Henderson had 3. So, and Malcolm Brown had 3 as well. He makes the waiver wire call. He had 16.4 fantasy points. He played 51 snaps, and Daryl Henderson played 16. If this keeps up for one more week, and they play on Thursday night, so we're going to get a feel of this soon, Stefania, then we could have a late-season Rams changing of the guard in the backfield that qualifies as fantasy news.
I feel like we sort of should have known this was coming because Lindsay Theory, who covers the Rams for us, talked in the preseason about this love that Sean McVay had for Cam Akers. Like, we've been hearing about this, but yet they never fully committed. I think the problem is we've been hearing Cam Akers and we'd be disappointed. And he really wasn't doing much in the start of the season. So it sounded like, oh, well, the Rams are just blowing this smoke. But then as they had some injury, kind of banged up issues in the running back department, they started putting Cam Akers out there. I think they saw that when he got more action, you know, he warmed up a bit, he started being more productive, and they are finally tilting towards Cam Akers. Like, I believe that's an evolution on the part of the Rams, and I don't see any reason why they're going to go back.
Yeah, I would say at this, Daniel, sorry.
No, you go first.
I was just going to say, I think at this point, it's caught my attention. I would add Cam Akers off the waiver wire if you're looking for some running back depth that could present some real upside down the stretch.
He feels like that guy that every year there's a player that kind of busts out in the fantasy playoffs that's like a waiver wire person, and that opportunity just materializes at the right time as they hit their stride. Cam Akers, and I'm not trying to make a call here, but Cam Akers just feels like that kind of player where only 23% rostered in ESPN leagues. Like, he should be on more rosters.
Cam Newton is on pace to set the record for the most rushing touchdowns by a quarterback ever in a single season. He would break the record previously held by Cam Newton. Unbelievable. His rushing is just absurd.
It's the vintage Cam.
It
when
is,
you
yeah.
see that, when he did the dive over that.
Yeah.
Like, he is, no one's stopping him.
You can't stop
no
him.
No one's stopping
him. He is a fullback.
And he makes him happy. Yeah. I love seeing when he's running the ball.
It's fun to watch Cam Newton. We all talked at the beginning of the year how we just enjoy Cam and as his presence and his stature and what he has brought to the game of not just real football, but fantasy for a long time. The passing yardage is... He has 153 passing yards over the past 2 weeks. There's basically zero passing upside here. But as a runner, he's averaging a rushing touchdown per game. Cam Newton starts the week with 6 more fantasy points than every other quarterback based off of that, basically. Right? Like, it's absurd. So, Cam Newton, I'm nervous about the matchup on Thursday night against the Rams because they're so good defensively, but I think Cam has a chance to be like a top 10 guy in weeks 15 through 17 with three divisional games, the Dolphins, the Bills, and the Jets. The Patriots obviously smothered the Chargers yesterday. We'll talk about that in a bit, what it means for someone like Justin Herbert. Last one here. Mike Kosicki. Hey, good to see you back, bud.
Hey. Hi. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Where you been?
Touchdown in consecutive games now and the catch of the day. If you missed it, it's all over SportsCenter. It's a snare is what it is. It's a snare. It's Mike Kosicki just snaring the football out of midair. He had a catch just like this last year. Deja vu all over again yesterday. Really impressive for Mike Kosicki. So that was the good stuff. We're going to have some of the other side of the coin in just a minute. But first, Daniel, what do you got?
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I bet it can be real hard work, too. You know what's easy, though? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you've already got so much to do around the house. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Businesses have had to be flexible this year, from working remotely to pivoting their business models for long-term survival and growth. If you're in charge of hiring for your business, these pivots have made your job even more challenging, especially if you have to hire for brand new roles. Thankfully, there's one place that you can always count on to make hiring faster and easier, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. When you post a job on ZipRecruiter, sorry about that. When you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 of the top job boards with one click. Then ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology finds people with the right skills and experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. It's no wonder that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free.
What?
Free.
Free?
At ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. Let ZipRecruiter take hiring off your plate so you can focus on growing your business. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Let's get into some news or noise, and this is playoff panic. All the Chargers. This is absurd.
All of them.
So the Patriots supposedly are bad defense, right? That's what we were told. And they have played poor at times this season. But Justin Herbert yesterday had 4.4 fantasy points. 4.4. Not on the first drive, not in the first quarter, not in the first half, not in the final drive of the game. He had 4.4 fantasy points for the entire day. He had 209 passing yards. He had 2 interceptions. If you had found someone that had been up with NASA in space for the past 5 months and they came back down and they saw this player yesterday, they would think, wow, did the Chargers have a Denver Broncos Kendall Hinton moment with Justin Herbert with the way he looked? Yeah, I mean, not that bad, but still, like,
it
my
was
God.
Absurd. And I had, I remember on the show yesterday, we did something where it was Justin Herbert or Russell Wilson, maybe.
Right.
And I think I ended up texting Mike Clay, like, thanks a lot. Like, Justin Herbert, like, what happened? It was like kryptonite for him. I mean, look. Patriots are coached by Bill Belichick, as you and I were discussing. So it's not like anyone is ever out of it. And they schemed for this. They clearly had him rattled. I could not get over that it was 3.9 yards per attempt. Yeah. Like, it was just, it was that. And he looked like he was flustered and flummoxed. He looked confused. And we haven't seen that. And I think that's what's been so remarkable is he came out of nowhere with 5 minutes notice to start a game. And we've never looked back until today.
So I think the Justin Herbert thing can be described by Bill Belichick and his defensive staff with a great, great game plan, as Stefania said. And I could think Keenan Allen can kind of be described by, you know, quietly, Stephon Gilmore is starting to look exactly like he was last year, which is like when you're going up against him, good luck. He has been one of the best defensive players, one of the best players, period, in football over the past couple of weeks. I think this is a rut for Justin Herbert. I expect better days ahead.
There was also some great special teams play, and it ended up putting him in difficult situations. So it wasn't totally on Herbert.
We cautioned you that you don't face off against the Saints running defense and feel good about it. Todd Gurley had 16 rushing yards yesterday. 16. Gurley played. That's good news. Yeah. But he's had back-to-back games under 4 fantasy points. You know, the reality of Todd Gurley in the first 10 games of the season, I guess 9 because he missed last week, is that Todd Gurley was benefiting, and this is something he does well in his career, but he was touchdown dependent. And when you don't score your touchdowns, you look like he has over the past couple of games, consecutive games under 4 fantasy points, Stefania. I'm going to have a hard time finding 25 running backs to rank ahead of him, but it's a good reminder that like he's got to score to make it worthwhile.
Right, and to be fair, I mean, the Atlanta offense is, I don't even know how to really fully describe that, but Todd Gurley hasn't looked explosive to me in a while. Yeah. You know, and this is not new in Atlanta. I felt like this was the case with the Rams. I didn't think he was suddenly going to be reinvented, but you're right. The touchdowns can mask a lot. They can make the pill easier to swallow. Unfortunately for him, it just, yeah, I think this is what he is.
What he is?
As a running back.
Daniel?
Can I ask, and I think this is not maybe not the perfect analogy here, so be a little loose with me, but Todd Gurley feels like a younger version of Adrian Peterson to me at this point, where it's like 18 for 46, 19 for 53 in a touchdown. He gets one catch for 2 yards on one target. Like, unless he's getting in the end zone, not only is the efficiency that we knew of from Todd Gurley completely gone, but the pass catching is now also gone. And like you said, it's just getting a touchdown. It feels very much like the opposite side of the Corey Davis conversation. Like, Todd Gurley's name is still holding weight in comparison to, like, I mean, you can't not start him if you need a running back that's going to be out there on the field, but man, it's tough.
I felt like he was catching a few more passes early in the season. I don't know why. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I feel like that's gone downhill. The difference is, I mean, Adrian Peterson playing for your team, he actually still has moments where he looks really explosive. Yeah. So I actually think there's a bigger drop off in Todd Gurley than Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, I think that's fair on the explosiveness of Adrian Peterson. I'm having a hard time, you know, not remembering that 90-plus yard touchdown last year that he had. And AP quietly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Touchdowns over mm-hmm. his past 2 games. Last one here. I'm panicked on Miles Sanders here. Mm-hmm. Because of all the things that the Philadelphia Eagles are doing right now on offense, like some of them, I don't know how they avoid them, right? Like Carson Wentz is a temporarily broken player. I can't expect him to just like snap his fingers and get better. They've tried it all. One thing I can expect them to do is to get Miles Sanders the football. He has 16 carries over the past 2 weeks, 16 total, not each week. He had 31 rushing yards yesterday. He had 0 catches. Miles Sanders, I'm nervous. He might be close to 20, maybe even outside my top 20 this upcoming week against the Saints. It's a problem, man. It is a problem. There are some things that are excusable for Philadelphia. They've had some injuries on the offensive line, inexperienced players contributing in moments that they are not quite primed for. But not having Miles Sanders be the focus of their backfield, to me, makes just no sense. We're going to return with some quarterback question marks in just a moment and what it means for the other players on their offense. But first, Daniel,
did you know that Truly Lemonade is a refreshing mix of lemonade and hard seltzer that's perfect for game day? If life or your fantasy lineup gives you lemons, make lemonade. Maybe even win your matchup with a surprise standout and keep those good times going with Truly. Bring the flavor to game day as only you can. We'll keep it light, crisp, and crushable. Truly Lemonade comes in 4 refreshing flavors: original, strawberry, mango, and black cherry. Truly Hard Seltzer. Live Truly.
The rising generation of NFL superstars have been dropping dimes and creating in space for years, way before they got to the league. Now it's your turn, creating your own highlight reel with X-Factor abilities and innovative new skill stick controls. Swag out and win in style in new backyard-inspired mode, The Yard. Celebrate your style, showcase your creativity, and rise to fame in a way that only you can. Go all out in Madden NFL 21. Available now. All right, some quarterback question marks and what it means for the other players. And Taysom Hill had a great day yesterday. He had 83 rushing yards. That's good. He had 2 passing touchdowns. That's also very good. Stefania, though, I think the question is, do we believe Drew Brees has a chance to play next week?
I think there's a chance.
Okay.
But it still feels early to me. I'll tell you why. Number one, 11 rib fractures. It's a lot.
A lot, yeah.
He also had the lung issue, which you would think that could be healed enough, certainly, for him to play. The main thing is, you know, you're looking for bone healing fractures aren't likely to be fully healed within that time. It normally takes 6 weeks, sometimes a little longer. But what they want to see is that you have good callus, you know, that there's actually bone that's starting to form and that those rib fracture areas are stable. Because remember, it was one of the fractured ribs that punctured his lung. So if there's a chance that you could refracture or it's not healed enough and you get a splinter that is in a dangerous position, they're not putting him out there. Simple as that. So it really is a healing parameter thing. There was a really interesting video somebody posted, and I can't remember who. The very first week that he was out after he was hurt, Drew Brees was walking on the field, just walking back and forth. And people might wonder, well, what's he doing? No, that's exercise, because breathing moves your ribs a little bit. So that's how dedicated he is to doing whatever it takes to get back. We saw it with his thumb. In his mind, he wants to come back as quickly as possible. But I think that, along with his ability to be conditioned and, you know, just are they comfortable with him taking hits, will drive it.
Okay, so we'll see whether he's back. Obviously, that means good things for the Saints passing game. But Alvin Kamara, this is why we told you going into the week, I get it. It's nerve-wracking. It's disappointing. But you can't sit Alvin Kamara. He had 17.7 fantasy points yesterday. He had a rushing touchdown. He only had three targets, but he caught two passes, which is better than zero, and he had just negative two receiving yards in the 2 weeks prior to that. Michael Thomas, nine catches, 105 yards, 19.5 fantasy points. Here's the good news, is that even if the Taysom Hill passing tree is limited relative to Drew Brees's, 41.2 target share for Michael Thomas from Taysom Hill this year. 41.2% of all targets in three games. Absurd, absurd volume for Michael Thomas. The only part that's crazy, he's not scored this season.
It's so weird. I mean, Grant, it's only six games. So on the one hand, we forget how much time Michael Thomas has missed, but it does feel weird that he hasn't found the end zone.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So hopefully he does this upcoming week. The Saints have a huge finish to their season. They have clinched a playoff berth. One more win clinches the NFC South for them. The Bengals are a tough watch right now. Brandon Allen had 153 passing yards, one touchdown, one interception. Now, if you started Tyler Boyd, you were semi-rewarded. He had one catch. It went for 72 yards and a touchdown, so he gets 14.2 fantasy points. I think the good news is this. T. Higgins has actually not cratered in Brandon Allen's presence. T. Higgins has back-to-back games with five catches, over 10 fantasy points again. He scored over 10 fantasy points in nine of his past 10 games in total, Stefania. It's certainly not the same, but it's a good reminder that sometimes, like, just talent, right?
And he's clearly the guy.
Yep.
I mean, there's not much to say there. It's not going to change.
It does feel like Giovanni Bernard. We've, like, pumped him as a possible replacement if you've needed it, and it feels like their running game just, you don't want any part of that. T. Higgins, sure. Tyler Boyd, sure.
In the same way that you don't want to have to count on the Giants passing game, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not saying it can't provide value when Daniel Jones is around, but yesterday, I don't even think this was like the intention. I don't think the intention was to win this game. What was the final score? 17-12. The intention was to play tough and competitive, but probably have to play from behind because you're playing against the Seahawks.
Right.
Nope. They dominated this game. Dominated this game against the Seattle Seahawks. Now, it came at the cost of Sterling Shepard's fantasy value. He had just one catch for 22 yards, but he had six targets. Evan Ingram had eight targets. He caught four passes for 32 yards. But Wayne Gallman, as things stand, and this is obviously being recorded Monday morning, leads all players with 135 rushing yards this week.
Yeah, he has been a star
in
the last few weeks. And the ghost of Alfred Morris.
The ghost of Alfred Morris, baby. Matthew just needs 1 point. 1 point, but Alfred Morris did find the end zone yesterday. He did run effectively when given opportunities. Let's get to the Texans. I thought this was really interesting because there were a couple of questions that we asked about what life would look like for Deshaun Watson without Will Fuller. Well, the good news is pretty darn good. 19.4 fantasy points yesterday, which, there's obviously more of a ceiling for Deshaun Watson, but it's still 19.4 fantasy points. He had 341 passing yards yesterday, Stefania, 38 rushing yards, a rushing touchdown, but he had two turnovers. That's why he was down to 19.4 fantasy points, but it reasserted what I believe, which is that It's Deshaun Watson. Like, right. Keep riding with him.
Yeah, I've been on that train all along. I've said not to give up on Deshaun Watson. The fumble at the end was heartbreaking. I mean, it was essentially what cost them the game. And that he just doesn't do that. So that's an aberration. And you look at the yardage, like I said, that, and he's been able to make some moves on the ground as well.
Yep.
You know, even though he's not rushing the way that he was, he's not necessarily scrambling for his life. He still gets you some points with his legs. So Deshaun Watson, look, Brandon Cooks came back. You still got Brandon Cook. Kiki Cutie has emerged as a target for him that I think he's comfortable with. We saw a little hint of that last year. I think it's getting more so now. I was surprised that David Johnson didn't catch the ball more, but maybe that's coming.
Yeah, he only outsnapped Duke Johnson by one play. Suggest to me it was a conditioning thing.
Right.
You either have a concussion or you don't.
Going
into
the game, yeah.
So I think that David Johnson's role will only grow in the final four games, but I'm glad you mentioned Kiki Cutie because I think he has a chance to be, again, a useful waiver wire ad this week. Now, the Texans had two separate players have great games besides Brandon Cooks in the wide receiver category. Kiki Cutie, 8 catches, 141 yards on 9 targets. That was his career high in receiving yards. He had a career-long 64-yard catch. He looked great. Chad Hansen also looked great. That's right. Chad Hansen, former, I believe, Cal or Kansas State, but Cal.
Sounds like a Cal name.
Pretty sure Cal. He was a Jets draft pick at one point. He's bounced all around the league. He got called up from the practice squad. He had a big day as well, but I'm focusing on Cutie because it's a volume thing. It's a larger sample size of seeing this in the past. It's Deshaun Watson and, generally speaking, good things happening to those who play with Deshaun Watson. And just as a reminder, as we discussed earlier on in the show, in case something happens with Brandon Cooks and this does linger at all, he returned to the game. But in case something rears itself midweek,
Kiki
Cutie could become the number one wide receiver for the Houston Texans. Talk about players that are set it and forget it, or maybe not so much here. Kenyon Drake had another productive game for the Cardinals, 49 rushing yards and a touchdown, 13.8 fantasy points, but he was outsnapped by Chase Edmonds. And it's no surprise, right? Chase Edmonds is the guy they're going to turn to when they're down big, and they were down big much of this game yesterday. But I still think you're going to have a hard time not playing Kenyon Drake, just with the running back depth that has been so thinned this year. But here I think is the most interesting one, and I'm just going to present it to you in a vacuum, Stefania. Tyler Lockett. Absolute roster lock, yes or no?
No.
It's a weird sort of answer to have to present, but like I think
roster absolute, lock or starting, yeah.
Absolute, like he's, must start him every single week,
right,
without
that's,
question.
That's what I, that's
yes.
What
yeah,
I
yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry, roster lock, yes. Must start every week.
He's on your roster. Like you're not going to
get rid of him. Yeah.
Thank you for interpreting. Like that's how much we work together is that you actually knew what I was saying.
I knew what you were
saying. That was my bad. What I was trying to ask was, is he starting every single week for you in your lineup? I phrased it poorly.
Get it led to that. Yeah.
6 catches, 63 yards, 12.3 fantasy points. Remember that 53-point effort he had a handful of weeks ago?
No. It's a long time ago. Recency bias in fantasy football.
He has under 13 fantasy points in 5 of 6 games since that 53-point effort. He's got under 70 receiving yards in all 6 of those games.
Then again,
it's Tyler Lockett.
Look at who they're playing coming up next.
That does help. The Jets next week at Washington, home to the Rams at San Francisco. So I like next week. And here's the reality. I'm saying this right now because I'm saying about how I have my, there are some concerns and there's a body of work that suggests that you might actually have players that you would play over Tyler Lockett. He's going to be ranked inside my top 15 probably this week. He'll probably be my top 20 the next couple of weeks as well. We're in week 14 almost. A lot of the stuff that we say, we've said many times before. I'm saying it again. This is what happens when you have Tyler Lockett on your team, right? I mean, Tyler Lockett can have 53-point upside. He can also have a stretch where for a month he gives you 10 to 12 points, Daniel.
I'm curious. Rest of season. Corey Davis.
I knew you were going to answer that.
Or Tyler Lockett.
I'm going with Tyler Lockett, but it's a great question.
Are you?
Yeah, I am.
I think Corey Davis has the higher floor and Tyler Lockett has the higher ceiling.
Yeah.
How about that? The words you didn't expect to utter on December 7th, 2020. Quick Monday and Tuesday preview. So we mentioned earlier, just to reiterate, for tonight, this evening, We do not expect James Conner to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers, correct, which means we should see plenty of Benny Snell, who last week had 16 carries. A note for those that may have missed Love Hate this week. It was available, still is available, online, ESPN+. Eric Ebron makes the love list for those looking for a last, well, not a last-minute tight end ad, but for those who might need a boost to get themselves into the playoff. How about the 49ers, Stefania, who, again, host, sort of, the Bills tonight because the game is being played in Arizona, getting healthier at the right time?
Every time I read at San Francisco, I have to then process. It's actually at Arizona, Glendale Stadium. Look, the Niners come into – the Niners have been given everything to try and throw their – derail their season. So it started with all the crazy injuries they had starting in week two. They haven't had a full roster basically since then. Number of ups and downs, and then moving to Arizona. And literally they packed up within a couple days and they're out there for a month. The good news is it's a place that's very familiar to them. It's not that far. And they're bought in. I mean, Kyle Shanahan has them all bought in. And they're getting their guys back. So on defense, they're getting a couple players back. On offense, clearly for fantasy, we care about Raheem Mostert and Deebo Samuel, both of whom looked good last week. So if you have them, I'd get them in. The 49ers believe they still have a shot in the NFC West.
Well, they definitely have a shot in the playoffs. I mean,
right. That's what I mean.
Just to win one game tonight, and they're tied with the Vikings, and I think the Cardinals at 6-6. Daniel?
So I want to ask a question. I should have asked you this before, Stefania, so I apologize for putting you on the spot. But George Kittle is still rostered in 71% of fantasy leagues. And as fantasy managers go into the fantasy playoffs, and that IR spot could become very useful to them for players that are actively playing, is George Kittle still worth holding on to? Because I know he has a chance to return at the end of the season. And it's not like there's no perfect answer here, I realize.
Right. But the soonest I think he would come back, I'd have to go back and look at what week it is. But
it's
originally,
like 16, right?
What week he got hurt? I think it was week 8. Week 16 is probably the soonest that he would come back. Even though he thought he'd be back in 2 weeks, he indeed had a fracture that really needs to heal, and it's in his foot. And then when you've been out with a foot injury, are you really ready to run, et cetera, et cetera? And them being relocated to Arizona. I mean, there's a lot of things there. So
if this were you, and you had him on your IR going into the playoffs, in which you are a playoff caliber team,
I would not. If I could benefit, like if the IR spot was costing me and I could put somebody else in there, like if it's not costing me anything,
yes,
I don't care.
Yes.
But if it was costing me and I could move someone else in there who is like maybe out for the week, and then I would move on, because you just don't know what you get when you get back. And if you're the 49ers, you either care about getting to the postseason,
right,
or you're looking ahead to next season. And if you realize you've got no shot at the end at week 16, why are you bringing George Kittle?
It's not a drop George Kittle from your IR for anyone else that's IR eligible. It's if you have somebody on your roster that is useful to you that needs that spot,
right,
you would be comfortable with being able to do that. Okay.
Last game, of course, is Tuesday, 8:05. That is a nationally televised game between the Cowboys, who are traveling to Baltimore to play the Ravens. And so finally, we do expect Lamar Jackson to play.
It sounds like it. Yes, we are hearing that Lamar Jackson will play. Adam Schefter reporting that yesterday. And it sounds like when he could come off the reserve COVID-19 list, be activated, and have still a couple of days before playing in a game, there was a comfort level with his conditioning to be in this game.
Yeah, so obviously we'll see if he is maybe less of a runner than normal, but you know, it's a must-have win for the Ravens. Talk about a team that is pressed up against it now. I mean, look at the AFC playoff picture, I believe, and could be wrong if my math is off. But yeah, no, they're not currently one of the three wild cards in the AFC. So they've got a ton at stake. And Lamar Jackson was the unanimous MVP last year. Unanimous, second time in league history that's ever happened. The Ravens need some MVP moments from Lamar Jackson tomorrow night.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, we've seen players who come back who've been cleared following being on COVID-19 list. So I think it's worth remembering that it's not automatically like you're 100%. Still a lot we don't know. And you have a couple guys who have said they haven't felt totally right. Yeah. Andy Dalton was one of them,
right,
another quarterback. And so I'm just very curious to see how he looks.
That game again tomorrow night, huge implications. And the Cowboys, they are still in it in the NFC East. A reminder here that it's still V Week. And if you're able to, if you can give now at v.org/donate, that's again v.org/donate. 100% of what you give goes directly to cancer research. You may have seen many of us here at ESPN sporting our Booyah shirts. Those are, of course, in honor of the late great legendary Stuart Scott. One of his many iconic phrases. I saw you and Rico snuggling up for a photo.
I saw you and
Cisco. That's right. Yeah, dogs make everything better.
That's
and
right.
They love their Booyah t-shirt. So if you can give, just know that it is truly appreciated. And one more reminder, we're back Tuesday and Thursday of this week. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, this week and next. In the meantime, waiver wire show ahead tomorrow. Monday Night Football recap. But also a reminder, waivers will run on Wednesday of this week, not on Tuesday night. We'll discuss that and more in the meantime. For Stefania and Daniel, I'm Field. We're back tomorrow. We will talk to you then. Good luck tonight. Peace out.
Tennessee, you're in the whole 6010.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.